Now, Mickey Mouse appears, standing in a pool of blue light, dressed in a pointed sorcerer's hat and red robe. A white starburst spins from his hand and spells Walt Disney Home Video. Titles appear, distributed by Buena Vista Film Distribution Company. Under an expansive Texas sky, a yellow dog ambles among red boulders. Titles appear. Walt Disney presents Dorothy McGuire and Fess Parker in Old Yeller.
Old Yeller, Old Yeller, Old Yeller. Here, Yeller, come back, Yeller. Best doggone dog in the West.
Old Yeller was a mongrel, an ugly lop-eared mongrel. Fancy free without a family tree. But he could up and do it and prove there's nothing to it. And that's how a good dog should be.
More titles featuring Jeff York, Chuck Connors, Beverly Washburn, and introducing Tommy Kirk and Kevin Corcoran. Photographer Charles P. Boyle, ASC. Copyright 1957, Walt Disney Productions.
Old Yeller was a hunter, a rare and tearing hunter. In any chase he knew just how to run. And when he hunted trouble, he always found it double. And that's when Old Yeller had fun.
Music by Oliver Wallace. Old Yeller lyrics by Gil George. Sung by Jerome Cortland. Screenplay by Fred Gibson and William Tunberg. Based on the book Old Yeller by Fred Gibson. Directed by Robert Stevenson.
Old Yeller was a fighter, a rootin' tootin' fighter. In any scrap he knew just what to do. A rough and ready feller, although his coat was yeller, his bold Texas heart was true blue.
Old Yeller gambols across a wide grassy plain. He comes to a rock-walled pool and wades in, lapping water. Looking toward a log cabin, he sees two boys on horseback and retreats in the opposite direction. A teenage boy sits behind his little brother as they ride a sand-colored horse with a black mane and tail.
What's Pop gonna sell our steers for?
For money, of course.
What's money?
Well, it's what you buy things with.
What do you mean by buy things?
Well, if you got money, you give it to people for stuff. They say you can get anything for money.
Anything? What's it look like?
Well, I never seen but one piece. Dollar bill Papa had. It's paper.
What'd Papa get with this dollar?
Nothing. It was no good.
But you just said that you could get anything with money.
Well, you can. Papa's was Confederate.
What's Confederate money?
Confederate money? Well, it's...
Well?
Don't you ever run out of questions.
Inside the log cabin, their mother helps their father pack.
I wish you didn't have to go.
Right now, I feel sort of the same way, but I put 100 head of our steers into that pool herd, and in Kansas, we can get maybe $4 or $5 a head for them. Cash money, too.
I know, but...
Well, ain't nothing to be sad about, Katie girl. When you think on it, we're lucky. There's us and the young'uns. Good land, plenty of water, game for the killing. Cash money is all we need to get a tight tail holt on the world.
Will you really be gone 3 months?
All of 3 months. Maybe four.
Katie turns her face away, sadly lowering her eyes. Her husband steps close to her and places a hand on her shoulder.
Now, honey, nothing to cry about.
She takes his hand.
It's just that we've never been separated before.
You know what I'm going to do when I sell them steers?
What?
I'm going to get you a store-bought dress. First one you've had since we come to Texas.
Katie draws aside her shawl as he measures her small waist with his hands.
It's about the right size.
He pulls his hands away, spreading them wide. She smacks his hand playfully, then hugs him in a strong embrace. They smile into each other's eyes. Their youngest boy opens the cabin door.
Papa, I aim to go with you.
You better stay here and take care of your mama.
Oh, gee, Papa.
They walk outside.
But I want to go. I tell you, I want to go. I want to go. Want to go.
You ride a piece with me, Travis.
All right, Papa.
I want to go. But I want to go. I can ride them old cows same as you.
You can't go on no cow drive, boy. Them Indians would scalp you for sure.
You think so, Papa?
I'm certain.
The teenage boy mounts a bareback mule while his father sits atop his handsome horse, hugging his younger son tightly. Katie reaches up to take the boy from the saddle.
Bye, Katie.
Goodbye, Jim, dear.
Jim and his teenage son ride away while Katie watches with a mournful smile. Jim turns in his saddle for one last wave. Jim and his son amble along a dusty dirt path away from the homestead.
Well, son, while I'm gone, you'll be the man of the house.
Yes, sir.
Be the pigs to mark, fresh meat to shoot. And mainly there's the corn patch. If you don't work it right, we'll be without bread this winter. Sure enough, a man-sized job. Think you can handle old Jumper when he's hooked up to a plow?
I'll handle him. I'll bust his jawbone with a club.
Well, all right, boy. I'll see you this fall.
Papa, you ain't forgetting the horse.
What horse?
Now, Papa, you know I've been aching all over for a horse to ride. And I told you time and again.
Well, what you're needing worse than a horse is a good dog.
Yes, sir, but what I'm wanting worst is a good horse.
All right, boy. You act a man's part, and I'll bring you a man's horse. Want a shake on it?
Jim holds his hand out to his son, who smiles, shakes it, then watches his father ride away. Jim nudges his horse to a canter over a wide grassy slope bordered by cottonwood trees. The boy, his face determined beneath a round-brimmed felt hat, sighs once, then spurs old Jumper home. Later, in a cornfield, the teenage boy walks behind a V-shaped wooden plow hitched to the mule. Leather straps run from the harness to the boy's shoulders. The crown of his hat is ringed with sweat. The boy stops as a rabbit comes running from a thicket of trees, chased by a yellow dog. The rabbit passes under a wooden fence into the cornfield, zipping between Jumper's legs. The dog follows, spooking the mule. Jumper bolts across the field, dragging Travis and the plow behind him. Twisting in the dirt, Travis frees himself from the harness straps. The yellow dog runs after the mule, who runs crashing through a fence.
Get away from that mule!
Katie runs out onto the porch. Jumper knocks down more fence. The boy watches in frustration as the dog chases the mule into the open pasture.
Pop ain't gone a full day and look what a mess.
The yellow dog trots back to the house.
It's not your fault, son.
Maybe not, but...
Get, you crazy fool dog! Get!
The lop-eared dog looks at them, his head cocked innocently to one side. Travis, the teenage boy, throws stones from the yard, chasing him away, then trudges back toward his mother.
I know one thing. That old dog better not come around here while I got me a gun in my hands.
Evening. The youngest son, muddy from head to toe, enters the house.
Who busted down the fence?
Where have you been?
Bear hunting? Who busted the fence down?
Danged old stray dog.
Dog? Where is he?
You won't never see him. I done rocked him clean off this place.
But I need me a good hunting dog.
All right, let's go wash up before supper's all cold.
Mom.
Go on. What do you got in that pocket?
Nothing.
Let's see what you got this time.
Oh, Mom.
Come on. Come on. Oh, Alice.
A lizard.
How can you even touch those ugly things?
They aren't ugly. Look at here at his belly, how soft and smooth and pretty it is.
I know, everything you catch is pretty, but take him out of here. You can't keep him in the house.
You mean I gotta throw him away?
And everything else you got in those pockets.
My frog, too.
Alice, what all have you got in those pockets?
Katie rummages her hand through his pockets.
Oh!
She drops a black snake.
Oh, Mama, it's just a little old garter snake.
I don't care. Get it out of here.
Arliss tosses it outside.
Arliss, if you don't stop catching things and bringing them into the house, I'm going to switch you good. And don't you ever, ever pick up a snake again. You understand?
Yes'm.
Now go out there and wash up for supper.
Little old garter snake ain't harmful.
If you'll pick up one kind of snake, you'll pick up another. Next time it could be a rattler. I wish he did have a good dog. like old Belle. When you were little, old Belle wouldn't let you near anything harmful.
Another dog in this world like old Belle was. Sure would have made short work of that old yeller stray.
Next day, a breaking dawn lightens the early morning sky around the family homestead. The cozy log house sits atop a grassy slope, flanked by shade trees. Travis walks toward the house, carrying a bundle of firewood under his arm. Inside, Katie sits at the hearth, stirring breakfast in a black cast-iron skillet. She pauses, staring wistfully. Travis enters.
Mama!
They smile at each other.
I was just thinking.
Travis sits beside her and feeds the fire.
About your papa. I guess he's eating his breakfast for now.
Probably wanted to get an early start.
I wonder how far they got yesterday.
Oh, I don't know. Papa says 50 mile a day is a long haul for a trail herd. I guess he made about 10 mile.
Mushy's about ready. If you want middle and meat to go with it, you better go out and cut some down.
All right.
He opens the wooden plank door, steps outside, and looks around.
Mama, what happened to the middle and me?
He spots the yellow dog, tail wagging.
Why, you no-account thieving rascal! Get out of here!
Ignoring Travis, the dog lays down.
A dog!
Arliss stoops to hug the dog.
All right!
Travis reaches for a stick.
You hit my dog and I'll weigh into a fresh.
Arliss swings a branch.
Arliss, what you doing
Arliss, don't you dare hit your brother.
He was trying to kill my dog.
He's not your dog and I never even touched him.
Where on earth did he come from?
He's that same old stray dog that wrecked the fence. Stole that big side of middle and meat there too.
He's my dog. Ain't nobody gonna try to hurt him.
Where?
Smiling, Katie kneels and strokes the dog's ears.
Looks like we've got us a dog.
Mama, you don't mean we're gonna keep that old, ugly, yeller dog after what he done?
He ain't an ugly, yeller dog. He's a pretty, yeller dog. Come on, you.
Arliss, barefoot and in his nightshirt, frolics with the dog over the green grass and worn paths in the yard.
Why not let Arliss claim him?
Have him stampede and jumper again?
You could break him at that.
He's a thief, Mama. He'll steal us blind.
Most creatures will steal when they're hungry enough.
All right, but I still don't want him.
Now, Travis, you're not being fair. You had a dog when you were little, and Arliss has never had one. He's too little for you to play with. He gets lonely.
Travis looks away sullenly.
After breakfast, you can take to the woods and get us a deer. And Travis, do some thinking on what I said about Arliss and that old yellow dog.
Arliss and old Yeller climb over a fence together. Travis, watching balefully, whacks the woodpile. Later, Travis, dressed in a plaid shirt and brown suede vest, rides bareback on Jumper. He carries a long-barreled shotgun held against his side. Fields of wild grass cover the tree-rimmed hills and valleys. They trot up a worn dirt path. A bevy of quail nests in the fallen leaves of a dead tree. Flying upward suddenly, they startle Jumper. The mule bolts, throwing Travis.
Jumper, you jughead! A bunch of bobwhites, and you act like you ain't got the brains of a blind goose in a hailstorm.
Travis gets up and walks to where Jumper grazes. He loops the bridle reins over the branch of a fallen tree, then scratches the mule behind his ears. Walking away, he pauses, licks a finger, then holds it up, determining the direction of the wind, and sets off with his shotgun. He comes to the split V-shaped trunk of a tall tree and settles in. He waits, leaning against the peeling bark. Sensing movement, Travis cocks and raises his gun. A doe and her fawn emerge from a thicket and drink from a shallow creek. Travis lowers his rifle and smiles. The deer stand side by side, surrounded by low-lying trees and bushes. Travis sees two chattering baby squirrels, dark brown with white rims around their eyes. They wrestle with a wild mushroom, chewing on the cap as they pull it back and forth between them. The doe and fawn walk gently back into the thicket, their long legs taking slow, delicate steps. Travis turns his attention back to the baby squirrels dashing up a tree. Unobserved, a long-antlered buck approaches the waterhole with a deliberate, measured pace, then lowers his head to drink. Captivated, Travis watches the squirrels zip up and down the base of a pine tree with lightning speed. The buck and Travis catch sight of each other at the same moment. Travis aims the shotgun. The buck turns suddenly and springs away. Later at the farm, Arliss and Old Yeller play in a waterhole. Travis returns with the buck.
Arliss, get that dirty old dog out of our drinking water.
Mind your own business.
Get out of there.
Travis throws a rock.
You quit rocking my dog!
Arliss returns fire.
We're chucking them rocks at me!
Arliss hops out of the waterhole, picks up stones from the yard, and chases Travis, throwing while he runs.
Stop it, Arliss! Stop it!
You're afraid I can get him!
Arliss! What the hell?
Katie runs toward them.
Look here, young rooster. If you want to keep out of trouble, you stop minding your big brother.
You mean I gotta mind him?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't my papa.
You start minding him just the same. Now go inside and take off those wet clothes.
What I ought to do is get me a sprout and give him one good thrashing.
Take it easy, son. He's only a little boy.
Papa wouldn't want that old dog in our drinking water.
Papa wouldn't have started a rock fight with Arliss either.
I never started no rock fight.
His mother walks away.
Arliss rocks me. Mama blesses me out.
His sidelong glance falls on Old Yeller.
You get off scot-free. What I ought to do is run you clean off this place.
Yeller stretches out comfortably. Nighttime. Outside, Travis hangs up a leg of meat. Yeller watches, tongue lolling.
You touch a bite of this meat, and come morning, I'm going to shoot you right between the eyes.
Travis pauses, then looks slyly at Old Yeller. He deliberately lowers the rope, suspending the leg of venison so that it hangs at Yeller's eye level. With a smug smile, Travis walks back inside. Old Yeller stands, one ear cocked, eyes bright, panting expectantly. The venison leg swings like a pendulum above him. Yeller sits and stares, transfixed, licking his chops. He lowers himself onto the worn dirt yard and lays his head on his paws as the meat waves to and fro above him in the evening air. The next morning, Travis and Arliss sleep together in a double bed. Dressed in nightshirts, they lie beneath a patchwork quilt. Groggy, Travis rubs his eyes, then jumps out of bed with a start. He walks to the front door and takes up his shotgun. Slowly lifting the wooden latch, he steps outside. The venison leg hangs, untouched. Perplexed, Travis looks at Old Yeller, who wags his tail.
Be darned.
He walks over to Old Yeller, lying on a table near a woodpile. Travis looks contemplatively from the dog to the nearby meat, then leans the shotgun against the house and returns inside.
Mama? Did you feed that old dog anything?
Well, no, I forgot to. Been so long since we had a dog.
Well, I sure gone and rustled up some grub somewhere. He touched a bite of that venison.
You might know he'd be too smart for that. You could have put it on the ground and he wouldn't have touched it. You better get dressed if you want an early start cutting fence posts.
Yes, sir.
Katie smiles knowingly. Later, Travis fells a tree. Jumper stands nearby, hitched to a wooden wagon. Katie saws back and forth across cut branches while Travis hacks off small branches with his hatchet. Nearby, Arliss and Old Yeller kneel on the bank of a creek. Yeller barks as he spots a fish swimming beneath the murky waters, and Arliss reaches in to catch it with his bare hands. The fish swims in lazy circles, tantalizingly close to the surface. Arliss leans forward and falls in.
Come on, Yeller, boy, get him!
Yeller jumps in.
Get him, Yeller! There he is! There it goes over there!
Yeller catches the fish in his mouth.
That's got him! Good for you, boy!
Arliss carries the fish by its gills.
Again.
But, Mama, I had to.
Had to?
Had to dive way down deep under to catch this fish. He was way down deep under where there was this cave, and it was real dark and muddy. And there was about a million other fish, and they all tried to eat me. And I had to throw rocks at them. And then there's these two big snakes, and...
Sounds like that cottontail you roped this morning.
But I did rope him, didn't I, Mama? He came running by, and I roped him right by the ears.
Well, you certainly brought home a rabbit, and now this big catfish, you're getting to be as good a hunter as Travis.
Here, Mama. Come on. Yeller, come on.
Mama, you know them as just big Wendy's, Arliss is telling.
Now, Travis, let him tell his stories the way he wants to.
But, Mama, I just seen that old yellow dog catch this fish.
Arliss is just a little boy with a big imagination. Won't hurt him to let him use it.
You keep that old yellow dog much longer, and it's going to make Arliss the biggest lion in Texas.
Later, Katie and Travis ride on the wagon loaded with branches, guiding Jumper back to the farm. Black and gray chickens toddle out of the way of the wagon's wheels.
Good boy. Go and get some bread.
Arliss tosses cornbread to a bear cub. Arliss tackles the cub.
What's that?
Arliss pulls the bear's leg. The cub curls into a ball as Arliss playfully drags him.
Arliss, turn it loose! Arliss, watch out!
A mother bear appears.
Turn it loose!
She comes crashing toward them while Arliss freezes with fear. Old Yeller attacks the angry black bear. They spar, Yeller lunging with his teeth while the bear takes heavy swipes with her claws. Dust spins around them as they circle each other. Travis watches with admiration.
Come on, you old fool, before she kills you.
The mother bear rears onto her hind legs and retreats into the brush. Katie bursts into the cabin and lays Arliss on his bed. Yeller bounds in and leaps onto the bed.
Oh, you crazy, wonderful dog. He acts like it's a great big romp, doesn't he, Travis?
Crazy as a bull bat. He's a heap more dog than I ever had him figured for.
Yeller licks Travis's chin. Later that evening, Travis lies awake in bed while Arliss sleeps beside him. Outside, Yeller nudges the front door open with his nose, looking expectantly at Travis. Travis smiles and motions Yeller onto the bed. The dog burrows between the two boys. Arliss pats Yeller with a sleepy hand. Travis gazes at Arliss, smiles contentedly, then runs his hand over Yeller's head and ears. Morning. Katie and Travis hoe up potatoes.
Just listen to those songbirds this morning. Singing their heads off. It's like the year your papa and I settled here. We meant to build over at the Salt Lick settlement where it would have been safer from the Indians, but
That last day, the camp by the spring, and the bee myrtle was in blossom and full of singing birds, like now. And it was all so pretty, I just couldn't go on. And I said to your papa, Jim, this is it. This is home.
She sees a man approaching on horseback.
Show the house!
It's Bud Searcy, Elizabeth too.
You might know he'd land right at meal time.
Howdy, Miss Coates. How to do? Howdy, boy. How's everybody?
Hello, Mr. Searcy.
Slide down, child.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Just dropped over to see if there's any little thing I can do for you folks. Travis, boy, take this old pony down to corn crib and strip the saddle gear off him.
Yes, Mr. Searcy.
Might feed him a bit of corn while you're at it, boy.
Won't you come inside a while?
Well, I believe we'll stay up for a spell, Miss Coates. Come on, Elizabeth. Hot, ain't it? If we don't get some rain pretty soon, this country's going to burn up bad. Corn crop ain't going to be worth nothing more than whirlwind nubbins. Some folks will be scraping the bottoms of their meal barrels come wintertime.
They walk to a bucket of water hanging near the house.
This here's hang too long. Elizabeth, honey, run down to the spring and fetch your poor old pappy a bucket of fresh water. I tell you, Miss Coates, it's a heavy responsibility riding herd in the settlement while the men folks is gone. Where's a man right down to a frazzle? Well, I ain't complaining, though. I was chose for this job, and I'll get her done.
Bud Searcy settles his girth into a wooden chair.
I kind of figured to hate up that cow drive to Kansas myself. But when man after man called me off, spoke private-like, begging me to stay behind, look out after you women folks and the young ones, I see my duty. Knowed I was being called on for a bigger job.
Jim said you were going to stay and protect us all.
It's a mighty lucky thing I done it, too. You know what happened the other day? That fool kid of Jed Simpson shot at a bunch of javelina hogs, wounded one of them, set it to squealing. Beat dog then, and the rest of them didn't tree that boy. Kept him up there, too, till I happened along and seed what a pickle he was in. Of course, I couldn't chase them pesky javelinas off. But I did go tell that boy's mama where he was, so she could rest easy till the varmints left out and give him a chance to climb down.
Katie's eyes flash disdainfully. Searcy spits tobacco juice.
Yep. Looking out after you women folks and the young one sure keeps a man a-hopping around. Biggest bother I've had, though, lately is a thieving what's been going on at Salt Lake's. Meat still out of smokehouses? Hens' nests getting robbed?
Mama, I'm hungry.
Hush, baby. Mr. Searcy's talking.
Women folks losing bread what they set out in their winters to cool.
Terrible.
Sounds like some varmint.
There ain't no varmint that clever, boy.
Mama, I'm hungry. When are we gonna...
Alice, I told you, don't butt in. Mr. Searcy's talking.
That's all right, Miss Coates. Ain't nothing like a little old boy to know when it's time to eat.
He scratches his beard, giving a sneaky sidelong glance.
Well, I guess it is getting on toward dinner time. Travis, will you go down to the corn patch and pick us some roasting ears?
Now, just a minute, Miss Coates. That boy need help to tote all that corn. Yes, sir. Elizabeth, go along with Travis. Be sure you pick out ears what is sweet and juicy.
He smiles, revealing a missing front tooth, and nods with satisfaction. Later, Elizabeth Searcy and Travis walk among the corn stalks. She is younger than Travis, with long blonde hair under a bonnet.
Raccoon's been in this corn. And thieving rascals.
You'll have to take the dog with him overnight.
Well, I got me just the dog for it. Old Yeller will wipe up the ground with them pesky varmints. You think he can't do it?
Oh, no, it ain't that. I didn't want to tell you at the house, but it was him what done it.
What done what?
What stole all them eggs and bread and meat and stuff.
You mean old Yeller?
I seen him suck a batch of eggs. Seen him swipe a pan of Grandma's cornbread, too. But I ain't gonna tell.
I bet you do.
No, I won't. Wasn't going to even before I noticed your dog.
How come?
Because Miss Pris is gonna have pups. Your dog will be there popping. And I wouldn't want him to get shot for stealing.
Yeller stands next to Lisbeth's dog. Travis looks solemnly away, then impulsively puts his hand in his pocket.
Just an old arrowhead I picked up. Comanche, Papa said. Well, you can have it.
She gasps happily.
I won't never tell.
Dinner at the house.
Get right down to the hog, just about the best eating there is alive. Yep, and I reckon just about the meanest critter alive go after his meat. Got you 14 different ways before you can get fixed to run.
They just scare me to death. Always dread the time when Jim comes to do the marking.
Yep. Hogs is bad, mighty bad. Had me an uncle once down in East Texas. Tangled a bad hog, he did, got cut all to pieces.
Kill him?
Kill him? Why, I killed him dead on a doornail.
Mr. Searcy, I wrote me a rabbit once.
Alice, be quiet. Mr. Searcy's talking.
Well, I did. A mean old biting one.
Well, now, boy, that's really doing some roping. You know, speaking of roping, I want to turn my hog work from a tree. Keep safer that way.
How can you work hogs from a tree?
Why, stick as a whistle, boy. Just pick you out a tree, a low-hanging limb, but sit out of hog reach. Get your dog to rally them hogs around a tree. Reach down your loop, pull up your pig, and go to work on them.
Golly, that sounds like it might work.
Why, of course it works. Them old hogs can fuss and charge around all they please, but up a tree, you're as safe as at home in bed.
Searcy pauses, looking at the last piece of bacon. He licks his finger, then takes a hasty swipe at the serving plate.
Travis, boy, you go fetch my pony, and we'll be pulling off for home. I've got a powerful lot to do before supper time.
Katie scowls. Outside, Searcy hoists himself onto his horse. Travis helps Lisbeth up.
Right neighbor like you to feed us, Miss Coates. Now, don't you fret yourself at all while your man's gone. We'll be looking in on you again before you know it. Bye, boy. Bye, Miss Coates.
Bye, Lisbeth.
Bye.
Katie waves, then crosses her arms.
No wonder they don't want him on no cow drive. By the time he finished eating and visiting with everyone this side of Abilene, them cows would be dead of old age.
Mama, Elizabeth says it's Old Yellow what's been doing all that stealing out in the Salt Lakes. She claims she catched him at it.
Why, the old rogue. We'll have to break him of that. Else everyone in Salt Lakes will be mad at us.
Somebody will shoot him. Yellow! Come here! You old rascal, you've been stealing.
Maybe we better take to penning him overnight.
I reckon we won't have to bother for a while. Listen, I'm gonna keep you so dang busted busy, you won't have time to go off prowling.
Evening in the cornfield.
No, you don't.
Yeller wanders, then stops, standing still among the rustling green rows of corn, then pads back to join Travis on a blanket.
We're staying right here and keeping them coons run out, you hear?
Travis looks through the tasseled corn stalks into the starry night sky.
Look at all them stars, Yeller. Bushels of them. Wonder if maybe Papa's lying out there on the trail somewhere, looking at him too. Wish I was with him. Way off yonder. In Kansas. Seeing all that big country.
His eyes slowly close. Yeller sleeps. A raccoon appears, peeking around the base of a tree, then skulks quickly into the cornfield. He stops to peer at the sleeping Travis and old Yeller, then moves on. More raccoons sneak through the fence, padding softly over the dirt. They move among the stalks, reaching upward for ears of corn. One raccoon scratches at a knocked-down stalk, while others congregate nearby in the moonlight. On their blanket, Travis and Yeller remain asleep, facing inward toward each other. Another raccoon wrestles with a stubborn ear of corn, standing on his hind legs while he pulls the stalk toward him. Two raccoons begin to wrestle, waking old Yeller. He chases the raccoons through the dark field.
Get him, Yeller! Get him, Yeller! Wipe up the ground with him!
Travis grins and watches the raccoons flee. The next morning, Katie frees the cows from the corral. Travis and Yeller return from the cornfield.
Yeller sure has been giving them coons a mortal, Fitz.
You tired, son?
No, ma'am. Hey, where's old Rose?
He looks at the cows.
She didn't come up last night. I figured she hid out somewhere and had a calf.
Guess I better go hunt her up.
He hangs his gear on the fence.
Come on, Yeller.
Remember now, if she's had her calf, she'll be on the fight.
Travis smiles confidently and plants his hat firmly on his head. He and old Yeller walk toward the hillside. Katie smiles fondly, then takes up his blanket and carries it into the house. Travis and Yeller climb a bare, rocky precipice. Around them, dead, sun-bleached branches fork to the sky, while the rocky hillside rises in the background. Travis loosens a boulder, pushes it off the cliff, and watches it carefully.
Come on, Yeller!
They run along the top of the cliff, down a sloping hill of grassy bramble, low-lying scrub, and dusty yellow soil. Cutting through a grove of pines, they reach a clearing where they spy Rose and her calf. Yeller taunts the cow.
Quiet, Yeller! Don't rile her!
Yeller runs in a circle around Rose while she chases him with her lowered horns. Travis gently approaches the newborn calf, lifting it in his arms. Yeller runs at Rose, keeping her at bay. Seeing them, Rose thunders after Travis while Yeller chases behind. Travis lets the calf go and takes off across the clearing. Looking over his shoulder as he runs, he trips and lands on his back. He looks up to see the cow bearing down fast upon him. Yeller jumps at the cow's horns and tackles her.
That's getting her, boy! Get her, Yeller! Bust her again!
Rose rushes at Travis. Once again, old Yeller takes her down. She rises slowly, then stares at Yeller in a standoff. Travis smugly crosses his arms.
Try it again, sister. Old Yeller will bust you wide open.
Rose, placid now, stares calmly while Travis walks back to the calf. He lifts the newborn and secures it over his shoulders.
All right, Yeller, get her home.
Yeller trots at Rose's heels, herding her forward. Travis, carrying the calf, follows them across the clearing toward home. Later on the farm, Rose bucks and pulls, tied to a wooden milking stand.
Right, old sister, you take it easy. I'm to milk you, if I have to break every bone in your body.
So now, Rose, you know as well as I we're not going to hurt you.
She yanks against the wooden poles, rearing and kicking her feet off the ground.
Now, Rose, you take it easy.
Yeller peers through the fence.
You ain't got a chance, sister. You're done milked and you don't know it.
She kicks the milk bucket, sending Travis reeling.
I know what.
Here, Yeller. Son, you bring that dog in here and Rose will go crazy.
All right, Yeller. Hold her there.
Katie watches, worried, as Yeller steps through the fence slats into the corral. The cow's eyes roll wildly. Old Yeller approaches her with slow, measured steps. Seeing him, Rose suddenly stills. Katie sighs and smiles with amazement, while Travis beams with pride. Yeller stands guard in front of Rose, while Travis walks over and picks up the stool and bucket. With a tender pat to Rose's side, he settles in and begins to milk.
Well, that don't beat all. I never saw such a dog.
You won't never see another one like him.
Yeller pants happily and wags his tail. Later, a man rides up on horseback.
Hello, the house!
Travis throws open the door.
Thought maybe it was Papa.
Morning, ma'am. I'm Burns Sanderson from down near Santone, running me a few head of cattle over on Devil's Creek.
Yes, Mr. Sanderson.
Bud Searcy told me about an old stray dog you folks had. Sounded like it might be the one I lost.
You mean a big yellow dog?
That's him, all right. The worst egg sucker and camp robber you ever laid eyes on. Steal you blind while you're watching. But there never was a better cow dog born. Or a hog dog, either.
Travis, go call Old Yeller to the house.
But, Mama...
Travis?
Yes, Mama.
The handsome stranger watches from his horse as Travis hurries away.
Won't you get down, Mr. Sanderson?
Thank you, ma'am.
He dismounts. Arliss rides Yeller across a pasture.
Arliss!
Arliss tumbles off.
What do you want?
Bring Old Yeller to the house.
What's the matter?
You'll find out.
Katie waits with Mr. Sanderson.
Ma'am, you and the boys don't have much protection out here. Bad as I need that old dog, I can give you a loan of him till your man comes home.
No, Mr. Sanderson, if he's your dog, you better take him now.
Well, maybe you're right, ma'am. Come on, boy.
Yeller runs happily to Mr. Sanderson.
Why, you prowling old rascal. Come on, boy.
He leads Yeller with a rope. Travis, blinking back tears, looks away.
Well, goodbye, ma'am. I'm sure much obliged. Come on, Yeller.
He throws a rock. Mr. Sanderson's horse bucks him off. He sits up angrily.
Arliss, aren't you ashamed throwing rocks at that man?
I'll bust him with another and he takes my dog off.
Arliss.
Maybe he's right, ma'am. Man come to take my dog off, I'd throw a fit too. Let me talk to this boy a minute.
He stands, tall and imposing.
Well, boy?
Arliss looks to his mother.
Go on, Arliss. Go on.
His boyish face frowns anxiously. He walks forward with tiny steps. Katie stands with her arms resolutely folded. Arliss's hand lingers on Old Yeller as he passes him and slowly advances toward Yeller's owner. He stops, Mr. Sanderson looming over him.
What you got in that pocket? Come on, let's take a look.
Mr. Sanderson pokes through Arliss's pants pockets and pulls out a toad.
Why, ain't he a Jim Dandy? Finest looking horned toad I ever seen.
What about my dog?
You mean you really want that thieving old Yeller dog?
I sure do.
Well, then maybe we can do some swapping. I've been wanting mighty bad to get me a big horned toad like you got there.
You mean you'd swap me old Yeller for this here horny toad?
Well, now, that's a fine horny toad, and I want him bad. But on the other hand, he ain't hardly as big as a dog. Seems like I ought to get a little to boot.
Like what?
Well, I'll tell you how it is. Been in that cow camp, starving on my own cooking so long. I don't hardly throw a shadow no more. Now, if you could talk your mama into feeding me one big woman-cooked meal, why, I figure it and that horned toad would be worth at least a lop-eared yellow dog. Don't you?
Arliss frowns, thinking hard. He looks at Yeller.
Well, I guess so. Will you feed her, mama?
Of course I will.
All right. I'll swap you.
Here, boy. He's all yours, boy.
He takes off Yeller's rope lead.
Come on, Yeller. Come on, boy.
Hey, what about my toad?
Arliss and Yeller walk back. Taking the toad from his pocket, Arliss hands it over. Mr. Sanderson grins.
Come on, boy. Come on.
Travis sighs with relief. Later, at the dinner table, Sanderson eats heartily.
I haven't eaten like this since the time I splurged on a big feed at the Menger Hotel in Santone.
Well, I'm happy you enjoyed it, Mr. Sanderson.
Well, ma'am, I guess I better be getting back to camp. Come with me, boy, while I get my horse saddled.
Yes, sir.
When Mr. Coates gets back, I want you to come and see us. I want him to meet you.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, ma'am. Thank you.
Arliss hands him his hat.
Come on, boy. Take good care of that old yellow dog.
Yes, sir. And you take care of my horny toad.
I will. Bye, ma'am.
Goodbye.
Travis follows Sanderson out to his horse.
Didn't tell your mama this. Didn't want to fret her. But there's a plague of hydrophobia in these parts.
Hydrophobia? You sure?
I've done shot 2 wolves, a fox, and a skunk that had it. Wanted to warn you not to take any chances.
Sanderson kneels, drinking from the water hole with cupped hands.
Well, I don't know if I could tell if a critter's got the sickness.
You can't hardly tell at first. Not until I get to the point of slobbering and staggering around. You see a critter in that fix, you know for sure. But you want to watch for others that ain't that far along. Now you take a bobcat and a fox. You know they'll run if they get the chance. But when one don't run, or maybe makes fight at you, well, you shoot him and shoot him quick. After he's bitten you, it's too late. You done with your hog marking for this year?
No, I'm aiming to start tomorrow.
Well, you watch them hogs same as everything else. I know your papa left you in charge of things while he's gone. And I figure you're man enough to handle a job. Don't scare you, does it, boy?
No, sir. Well, yes, sir. It scares me a little bit. But I'll sure do like you told me.
That's the way a man talks, son.
He extends his arm, and they solemnly shake hands. Sanderson starts to mount his jet black horse, then pauses. Sliding his hand into his suede vest, he pulls Arliss's horned toad from his shirt pocket and gives Travis a conspiratorial grin. Sanderson places the toad on the ground, watching as it scuttles away. Travis smiles in return. Back in the saddle, Sanderson waves as he rides off. Later, Travis and Yeller walk the countryside. He kneels.
Hog tracks, Yeller. Get him, boy!
They take off, running over the patchy hills. Yeller runs across level ground to an area piled high with giant boulders. Between the rocks, a dozen black-coated wild hogs wallow in a mud hole. 2 large males butt heads as they run in a frisky circle. Others dip their snouts in the muddy water. Yeller rushes toward them. He herds the hogs forward. They run frightened through the rocky canyon, past boulders and scrubby pines. Yeller rounds up a hog which strays from the pack. Climbing down the hill with a rope, Travis makes his way among the rocks jutting from the sandy soil. He sees the stream of hogs as Yeller shepherds them into a boulder-enclosed dead end.
Hold them, boy!
Travis climbs the rocks alongside the path. Yeller holds the hogs at bay, hemming them in against the wall. He hustles back and forth in front of them as they try to escape. A hog with long, curved tusks slips by. Yeller herds it back against the wall, keeping the hogs in a teeming row. Meanwhile, rope in hand, Travis inches his way along an overhanging tree limb above the path, then sits in a forked branch. Yeller glances up.
All right, Yeller. Got you right under here.
Yeller runs in front of the line of hogs, then positions himself beside them, rousting them forward. He chases until they're underneath Travis, who sits perched overhead. He holds the rope in both hands, with one end tied into a large noose. He throws the loop over the pack of hogs beneath him. It grazes one hog's back and slides off sideways. Travis pulls the empty rope upward and yanks open the noose. Aiming carefully, he drops it again. Pulling hand over hand, he slowly raises a small pig from the pack. He pulls the brown and black mottled piglet onto his lap and holds it firmly. Down below, Yeller keeps the hogs at bay.
Offer a bit the ride here.
Your slope the left. All right, pig. Now you're wearing the coat's mark.
Travis notches the pig's ears with his pocket knife, then lowers it back into the group. Yeller jumps back and forth in front of the nervous hogs. Travis ropes a larger hog and struggles to raise him upward. He yanks hard on the rope, swaying in his perch. Travis falls into the pack. He stumbles to his feet and gropes at a large boulder. A huge black hog bites onto Travis's pant leg and shakes it furiously. The hog pulls Travis onto the ground, attacking his leg in a frenzy. Yeller bounds forward and latches onto the hog's neck with his teeth. Travis frees himself and runs. His torn pant leg reveals a shin scarlet with blood. Past the rock-rimmed enclosure, he trips, falling flat. Grimacing with effort, he sits up, takes a red bandana from his pocket, and ties it around his wound. The hogs escape from the rock-walled enclosure, trotting away quickly. Travis looks around tentatively.
Yeller!
He sees nothing but the empty dead-end rock walls.
Yeller!
He bolts to his feet and heads back to the boulders, his slit pant leg flapping as he runs.
Oh, Yeller!
Yeller lies, bloody and motionless.
Oh, Yeller! You're all cut to pieces. You're gonna be all right, you hear? I'll get Mama. Mama will fix you up for sure.
Blood and dirt mat the dog's yellow coat. Blinking back tears, Travis takes off his muddied shirt and wraps it tightly around Yeller's ribs. The dog blinks wearily. Travis searches the landscape. He pulls his suspenders over his bare chest and walks to a low overhanging rock. An old log covers an opening. Travis removes the wood, revealing a small cave-like hole. He limps two steps back to Yeller.
Come on, boy. Gonna put you in here.
Yeller breathes faintly.
Come on, Yeller. Want them hogs to come back and get you?
The dog opens his eyes. He stretches his front legs forward and begins to inch his way across the dirt. Placing his hands on Yeller's shoulders, Travis gently guides him into the hole in the rocky wall. Yeller watches Travis pick up the wide, split log.
Are you gonna stay here till I get back?
Travis replaces the log, closing Yeller inside.
I mean it, boy. I'm coming back. I promise.
Travis looks through his tears at the sealed hole, then turns and limps slowly homeward. Back home, Katie bandages Travis's leg.
Come on now. I'll help you to bed.
We gotta go back after old Yeller.
You're not going any place until that leg gets well. I've doctored hog cuts before. This one of yours could be as dangerous as a rattlesnake bite.
Mama, you don't understand. I promised old Yeller, and I'm going.
Travis. Travis.
I have to go after old Yeller. He'll die without help.
Katie studies Travis's tormented face.
All right, then. We'll all go.
Later, in the canyon, buzzards circle lazily in the blue-white sky. Travis rides on Jumper, while Katie leads the mule by a rope. Arliss holds on to her hand. Buzzards lurk at the cave's sealed entrance.
Mama, them buzzards ain't got them.
As the Coates family approaches, the birds flap their long, oily black wings and flee. Arliss peers into the cave.
Come to get him out, baby. But first, I wonder if you'd do something for me.
What?
Go catch me a green striped lizard. We passed one back there apiece. Prettiest I ever saw.
Sure, Mama, I'll catch him.
We're going to have to hurry if we want to get him patched up before Arliss gets back.
They remove the log. Katie unwinds the shirt from around Yeller's belly and examines his wounds.
Oh, Travis. I didn't know it was going to be this bad.
Them hogs would have never touched him. He was keeping him off of me.
We'll have to sew him up. Go jerk me a hair out old Jumper's tail.
They look worriedly at Yeller. Travis hoists himself up and limps his way to Jumper. He balances on one foot as he pulls a hair from the mule's long, silky tail. Katie strokes old Yeller's head. Travis returns and hands the hair to his mother. She takes a large sewing needle from the bodice of her dress and threads the hair through the needle's eye, carefully tying a knot at the end. Travis watches, his face fraught with concern, as his mother begins to sew the gash along the dog's ribs. Yeller weakly lifts his head and licks Travis's face.
Yes, Yeller.
Katie painstakingly mends the wound.
Take your axe and go cut two long poles for a litter. The sooner we get him home, the better.
Later, Arliss runs to the cave, his hand held high in the air.
Mama, I got your lizard. Ain't he pretty?
Oh, yes, he really is. Now, if you'll just keep him for me until we get home, we're going to play a game.
What kind of a game?
We're playing Old Yeller is Sick, and you're going to take care of him.
Is that why he's all wrapped up?
That's right. Now, you're going to ride here and hold him.
Like we was two sick engines?
And you make sure he don't fall off.
On the counter, he's a sicker engine than me?
That's right. Now, remember, don't lean on him and don't play with him. He's a very, very sick Indian.
Arliss lies beside Yeller on a thick leather stretcher hitched behind the mule. Katie helps Travis as he painfully mounts Jumper. She takes up the mule's rope.
Come on, Jumper.
They set off slowly. On the stretcher, lying on stuffed burlap bags, Arliss carefully strokes Yeller's head. Later, in the kitchen.
Mama?
Huh?
Them prickly pear roots gonna make Travis well?
I hope so, son.
Mama?
Oh.
When you're done, will you play with me?
I'm sorry, Arliss. I'm too busy now. You go out in the backyard and play.
But I tell you, there ain't nothing to do on that old backyard.
He waves a stick in her face.
Now, Arliss, you stop it and go outside this minute.
Out of the house! It's Mr. Searcy.
Katie sets aside her peeling knife. Outside, Lisbeth holds a yellow puppy.
Ain't he pretty? Is he for me?
Partly. Mostly he's for Travis.
But Travis can't play with no puppy. He's sick.
Sick?
Him and old Yeller. Hot cut.
Katie opens the door.
Good morning, Mr. Searcy. Hello, Elizabeth.
What's this about that boy here and getting a hog cut? What you doctoring with?
Prickly pear root.
Miss Coates, I'll bring something for Travis. Can I take it to him?
Go right in there, honey. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Searcy, I'm making up some new poultice.
You know, it's right providential to come along when it did. Tain't nothing better than a prickly pear poultice. Providing, of course, the body knows how to fix it.
You hurt pretty bad.
I'm all right. Take more than them old hogs to kill me.
Well, I brung you a surprise. One of Miss Prissy's pups. They was born in a badger hole. 7 of them. This one's the best of the bunch. See, he don't holler when you hold him up by the neck hide. Papa says that means he's a good dog.
It don't mean nothing. With a mouse black inside, that's what counts.
He sets the pup aside. Lisbeth winces.
Well, anyhow, I brung him to you.
Well, I got me a dog. Old Yeller.
The puppy bats his paw at Old Yeller's mouth. Travis looks up and notices Lisbeth's anguished frown.
Well, why don't you give him to Arliss? He'll like him.
Fighting back tears, Lisbeth grabs the puppy from the bed and rushes from the cabin.
Here, you can have him.
Golly! Golly!
That's the secret, Miss Coates, of beating them roots till they're all soft and squashy as muscles that can suck out the pipe.
Puppy, Lisbeth, give me!
Katie and Bud Searcy enter the bedroom. They lift the quilt and apply a poultice to Travis's leg.
Sure cut up, ain't you, boy? Clean to the bone, looks like. That there poultice is sure the stuff to suck out the poison. Provided, of course, she ain't got hydrophobia.
Hydrophobia?
Could be. It's all over the countryside. Stuff dying like flies. Foxes, wolves, polecats, hogs, squirrels.
Hogs?
Hogs can get it. Same as that there boy, that old yellow dog there. Seen any one of them foaming at the mouth? Showed any signs of fits? Fits of temper?
Of course not.
Well, you better keep a close watch on them. Liable to show up at any time. Recollect having an uncle once down these Texas. Got mad dog, but he did. Knowed he was bound to die. Changed himself to a sweet gum tree, he did. Stayed right there till the sickness took a hold.
Mr. Searcy, please.
But it's a gospel truth, Miss Coates. He went to snarling and snapping everything in sight. He'd run to his woman, his young one, trying to bite him, and he'd done it too. If that chain hadn't held him back. Stayed right there till he died of the slobbering fits. They buried him under that sweet gum tree.
Mr. Searcy, that's enough of that. But not another word.
Biggest, nicest funeral you ever did.
Katie shoves him out the door.
What do you mean, telling an ugly story like that to a boy who's just been hog cut?
Well, now, Miss Coates, I was just trying to give a word of warning. Reckon if I can't leave no more help around here, I'll be making tracks for home.
Help? There are plenty of ways a man could help around here.
Huh? Like doing what, Miss Coates?
Like hitching up the mule and gathering in the corn crop before the deer eat it up or the blowing rain rotted in the field.
Now, don't you fret yourself at all about that corn crop, Miss Coates. I'll be glad to take care of that. Lizbeth?
Yes, Papa.
Lizbeth, honey, Miss Coates says she's in kind of a bind, ain't got her corn in the crib yet. Figured I'd leave you behind to help her with the job.
Mr. Searcy, Lizbeth's nothing but a little girl.
Yeah, well, she ain't much for size. But she's just like her old pappy, stout and willing.
Katie restrains her anger.
Now, don't you forget, Miss Coates. If there's every other little thing I can do for you, don't you be bashful about telling me. I'm on call day or night. Bye. Bye.
Oh.
Katie enters the bedroom. Travis lies in bed, propped up on pillows, eyes closed, Yeller beside him. Her brow drawn together with concern, Katie goes to the bed and places her palm on Travis's face. He awakes and gazes at his mother with clear eyes. A look of cautious relief washes over her features.
I do believe you are cooler.
Mama, don't let what Mr. Searcy said bother you. I'm gonna be all right.
I'm sure you will be.
I know, Mama. Mama, I know. I got a good look at them hogs. Hogs was mean, but they weren't mad.
Smiling, she hugs her son. The next day, Katie, Lisbeth, and Arliss return from the field, walking alongside Jumper and the wagon. Travis steps outside to meet them.
Travis, we got lots of corn, me, Mom, and Lisbeth.
Ain't that old Rose out here bawling?
She's been acting flighty lately. Like she was scared of her own shadow.
And this morning she wouldn't let her calf suck neither.
I think maybe she's got a beta peavine.
Oh, no, Mom, it can't be peavine. Not this late of year.
The cow stumbles, knees buckling under.
Oh, the poor thing. She's blind sick.
Rose waves her horned head fretfully. Foam rims her mouth.
Cow's got hydrophobia.
Hydrophobia? Oh, no, Travis.
Mr. Sanderson said when they stagger and slobber around, you know for sure.
Arliss and Lisbeth look on somberly. Katie bites her lip and stares at Rose.
I'll go get my gun.
Resigned, Katie walks back to the wagon where Arliss and Lisbeth wait. She leads them away as Travis limps toward the corral with his shotgun. Rose lies on the grass, her head wavering in dizzy circles, one hind leg lifting off the ground. Travis stands at the edge of the fence and raises his rifle. Meanwhile, the wagon rolls across the homestead to a corn crib, with Arliss and the puppy riding on top. Travis takes careful aim and cocks the trigger. Katie and Lisbeth look up sharply.
Let's get finished and go burn the carcass. If the varmints get at it, could be that might spread the disease.
That evening, Travis sits brooding outside the house, watching Katie and Lisbeth pull the wagon to a stop beside a roaring bonfire. Together, they take a log and throw it onto the flames. Travis watches the leaping flames swell into the pitch-black night. Arliss joins him, walking out of the house with a puppy slung over his shoulders.
I'm hungry.
Well, I'll go rustle up some bread and milk.
How come he shot old Rose?
She was sick.
Well, you were sick too. How come they didn't shoot you?
Want something different.
Where are Rose going now? She's dead?
Nowhere, I reckon. She's just dead.
Will she go to heaven?
I don't much reckon.
Ain't there no cows in heaven for the angels to milk?
Well, how do I know? Here's your supper.
Travis crumbles cornbread over milk and sets a bowl on the table. Side by side, the puppy laps the milk while Arliss spoons up the bread.
How far off is heaven?
Well, I don't know. For a piece, I guess.
Is heaven as far off as Papa went?
Heap further than that.
Where'd Papa go to?
Kansas. Ah, let's quit eating with that nasty old pup.
Well, he's hungry, too.
Travis sets him on the floor.
Travis, bring your gun!
That's Mama. What's the matter with her?
You stay in this house, Arliss. You hear?
Travis! Bring your gun!
Travis runs to the fire. He enters the corral where the bonfire rages. Old Yeller and a wolf are clinched together, standing on their hind legs, gripping each other's throats. Katie and Lisbeth hang back against the wagon, their faces white with fear. Travis raises his gun and closes one eye as he sights the wolf along the barrel. The animals shift quickly, writhing and tumbling together. Travis lowers the rifle, unsure of his aim. The wolf pins Yeller on his back, seizing his throat. Travis takes up his gun. Old Yeller and the wolf lie motionless. As the smoke clears, Travis looks anxiously toward the animals. Slowly, Old Yeller lifts his head. Travis smiles with relief. The dog trots gingerly over to the boy. Travis kneels and gently strokes Old Yeller's head.
Let Arliss come down here.
I'm coming, Arliss.
What happened?
It was so sudden, I don't hardly know. The wolf came leaping out at us.
Lucky you had Old Yeller.
Katie pauses and rests her hand against her mouth. She turns to look at Travis, who gratefully strokes Old Yeller. Dread crosses her face, and she kneels beside the dog, taking his head between her hands.
It was lucky for us, son, but it weren't lucky for Old Yeller.
He's chewed up some, but he ain't bad hurt.
No wolf in his right mind would have jumped us at the fire. Not even a lofer wolf. That wolf was mad.
Katie tenderly cradles Yeller's chin.
Oh, shoot him, if you can't. But either way, we've got it to do.
Mama, listen. Old Yeller just saved your life, and Elizabeth, too. And he saved mine and Alice's. We can't. We don't know for certain. I'll pin him up where he can't get out, and then we'll wait. We can't just shoot him like he was nothing. Don't you understand?
Katie lowers her eyes.
All right, son. If you think there's a chance...
The next morning, they both walk toward a wooden pen.
Hear that?
Well, now, that sounds like a healthy dog to me.
Take a look at him, Mama. See for yourself.
Old Yeller sits up in the straw, his eyes shining brightly. Travis dishes out his food.
Sure looks fine, all right.
2 whole weeks and nary a sign of a thing. Think we could let him out?
Katie leans forward, studying Yeller closely, watching as he eats from a cast iron pot.
No, son. Not yet. They say sometimes it takes a month to tell.
She bolts and latches the door of the pen, and they walk back to the house. That evening, Travis cuts a piece of meat for Old Yeller's supper and sets off for the pen.
Now, I told you, if everything's all right, we'll let Old Yeller out come Saturday.
But, Mama, why not now?
No. We waited this long. I guess we can stand it another couple of days.
Oh, Mama.
Travis approaches Yeller's pen.
Here we are, boy. More grub. Yeller.
Yeller lies crouched in a corner of the pen, hunkered down in the hay. His lips curl back as he bares his teeth threateningly. Dishing out food, Travis tries to smile.
What's the matter, boy? Come on, it's time to eat.
He stares soberly at the dog, coiled in the corner, glaring and immobile. Stunned, Travis backs away and slowly closes the wooden door between them. He plods back to the house. Inside, Katie and Lisbeth dry the supper dishes. In his striped nightshirt, Arliss hangs from a rafter, swinging back and forth.
How is it tonight?
All right, I reckon.
Are you sure?
Well, I said it was all right, didn't I? I guess you wouldn't like it either if you had to stay shut up in a corn crib.
You ain't gonna keep my dog locked up in that crib no more.
You stay away from that dog. You understand?
Travis shakes Arliss by the shoulders, then stalks outside.
It's time for you to go to bed, Arliss.
Oh, Mama.
Do as I say.
Yes, ma'am.
Arliss takes one last bounce on a bed and treads wearily across the porch. Reaching the bedroom door, he throws a glance over his shoulder, then runs toward Yeller's pen. Meanwhile, as Katie washes a dish, a questioning look comes over her face. She hands the plate to Lisbeth, wipes her hands on her apron, and leaves the room. Outside, Arliss stands at the slatted wall, enclosing Old Yeller.
Don't you worry, boy. I'll get you out of here.
Arliss jumps, struggling to reach the latch, then begins to climb up the door's wooden boards. Inside the house, Katie enters the bedroom. Travis lies forlornly on the bed. Katie hugs his shoulders, brushes back the hair from his forehead, then looks around the room.
Where's Arliss?
I don't know.
Katie opens the door.
Arliss!
She walks outside. Arliss continues climbing until he reaches the latch, opens it, then jumps down. Katie rushes to the door, slamming it shut, just as Yeller springs forward. A foam of white saliva covers his jowls as he claws against the door. Katie hugs Arliss, pushing him homeward. Travis and Lisbeth run to the locked pen. Yeller continues to lunge, snapping and growling. Stricken, Travis stares at Yeller through the slats. He leans his hands against the wall as he presses his forehead to the wood, his face crumpling. Crying, he lowers his head. Katie returns from the house, carrying the long-barreled shotgun, her face set resolutely.
No, Mama.
There's no hope for him now, Travis. He's suffering. You know we've got to do it.
I know, Mama. He was my dog. I'll do it.
Travis takes the shotgun from his mother. Lisbeth cries and leans against a log. Travis, his face ashen, shakes as he pushes the barrel of the shotgun through the fence of Yeller's pen. He takes aim, his index finger resting on the trigger. He momentarily drops his head, crying, as he leans against the gun. Stalwart, Katie pulls Lisbeth to her side and looks away. A tear spills from Travis's eye as he raises his head. Shuddering, he re-aims. Travis walks away in a stupor, his shoulders sagging. Blue-gray gun smoke hangs heavily in the evening air. The next morning, Jim comes galloping over the countryside, a brown and white pinto horse tethered to his own. They lope along the trail toward home. Jim reins in the horses and slows to a stop, taking in the sight of the house. Arliss, sitting atop a golden haystack, slides down the side and runs full throttle to his father, the puppy chasing behind.
Hiya, boy. Ain't your engine scalped you yet?
Katie comes running, sending chickens flying.
Mom, what'd you bring me?
Well, I brought you something, all right. Just hold your potatoes while I go fish your mama.
Jim! Oh, Jim!
They embrace and kiss blissfully. Arliss rifles through Jim's saddlebags.
What'd you bring me, old papa? Where is it?
Jim walks to the horse, unlashes the saddlebag, and shakes it.
Hear this, Katie? Money. Cash money. First we've had since the war. That ain't all.
What?
I got that dress. Prettiest thing you ever seen.
Oh.
Fancy pair of shoes to go with it.
Gee whiz!
Put it on, son.
Arliss puts on a feathered Indian headdress.
All right, Chief, let's hit the warpath.
Arliss takes off running. Now, Katie unpacks a pair of shoes and hugs them dearly to her chest. She lifts a yellow print dress from the brown paper wrapping, holding it against her body.
Oh, Jim. It's lovely.
I've been aching to see it on you.
She gives him a hug. Jim gazes into her eyes.
Where's Travis? Want to get a look at his face when he sees the horse I brought him.
Him and Elizabeth Searcy are over at North Hill. Burying Old Yeller.
Old Yeller?
Come in the house and I'll tell you about it.
The sun beats down on a hillside near the house. Travis and Lisbeth carry stones, carefully adding them to the pile of rocks marking Old Yeller's grave. Travis shifts the stones, placing them with care. Lisbeth pauses, struggling to speak.
Travis, if you could just come to like the pup, he's part Old Yeller.
Maybe part Old Yeller. But he ain't Old Yeller.
Travis's eyes narrow. He strokes and rearranges the stones. Lisbeth slowly walks away. Jim heads toward them across the sloping grass, leading the brown and white pinto by the reins. He sees Travis and pauses, then leaves the horse by a tree. Travis stands rigidly, staring at the grave, eyes closed, lost in thought. Jim slowly approaches and tilts back his hat.
Your mama told me about the dog. Come sit down, son.
They sit side by side, overlooking a wide panorama of green, tree-covered hills.
That was rough, son. Rough things I ever heard tell of. But I'm mighty proud of how my boy stood up to him. Couldn't ask no more of a grown man. Thing to do now is try and forget it. Go on being a man.
How, Pa? How are you going to forget something like that?
Well, I guess I don't quite mean that. But it's not a thing you can forget. Maybe not even a thing you want to forget. what I'm trying to say is, life's like that sometimes.
Like what?
Well, now and then, for no good reason a man can figure out, life will just haul off and knock him flat. Slam him again the ground so hard it seems like all his insides is busted. But it's not all like that. A lot of it's mighty fine. And you can't afford to waste the good part fretting about the bad. That makes it all bad. You understand what I'm trying to get at?
Yes, sir. Just that...
Sure, I know. Saying it's one thing and feeling it's another. But I'll tell you a trick, it's sometimes a big help. When you start looking around for something good to take the place of the bad, as a general rule, you can find it.
Travis stares at his father with large, glistening eyes. They stand up. Jim walks over to the brown and white Pinto.
Brought you that horse, I promised.
Yes, sir.
I reckon you ain't in no shape to take pleasure in him yet.
No, sir.
We'll just keep him a while. Maybe he'll come to feel different later on. Your mom was fixing supper when I left the house. Might hurt her feelings if we're not there on time to eat it.
Jim leads the horse down the hillside path. Travis walks behind them, carrying two shovels. He turns for one last look at Old Yeller's grave, then follows his father. Outside the house.
Leave that alone. You get out of here. Put it down. Put it down.
What? You thieving little wretch.
The puppy steals a leg of meat. Travis watches him.
Chief, I think you're fixing to raise the wrong hair.
I was trying to kill my dog.
I never even touched
him. Of course you didn't.
He tosses Arliss into the air.
Supper ready?
Ready and waiting.
Good.
They enter the house, leaving the puppy outside. Travis picks him up. He licks Travis's face, and the boy smiles. Lisbeth approaches, and he quickly assumes a serious expression.
Looks like it's about time I started learning this old pup during his keep.
Don't look like to me he's hardly big enough to learn nothing yet.
He's big enough to learn. He's big enough to act like Old Yeller.
From the doorway, the family looks on happily while Travis cuddles the pup in his arms. Travis waits in the doorway for Lisbeth, and they share a smile as the family gathers round the table together.
Young Yeller was a puppy, a little mop-eared puppy. It's plain to see he's got a family tree. The image of his pappy, he's frisky and he's happy. And that's how a good dog should be.
Frisky and happy.
Travis and Arliss run through a golden field as young Yeller chases a jackrabbit. This film was described by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston, described by Eileen Silverstone, read by Margot Stage, funded by the U.S. Department of Education.
Best doggone dog in the West.
A title reads, The End, a Walt Disney production.